रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. सुंदरकांड चैप्टर नंबर 36. हनुमान हैंड्स ओवर द सिग्नेट रिंग ऑफ रामा टू सीता. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Marathi of boundless radiance addressed himself to Sita most humbly to inspire confidence in himself and handed over the signet ring of Rama with the words, Lady, fortunate beyond count, I am the messenger sent to you by Sri Rama, the wisest of the wise. Cast your eyes on the signet ring adorned with his glorious name. Sri Rama entrusted it to me that you may trust me and laid his orders upon me to hand it over to you. I pray you put away care and sorrow from you. All good go with you. Your sorrows will vanish never to return and that sooner than you think. Sita took it from him, the jewel that adorned the finger of Rama, and gazed long and lovingly at it. The joy boundless filled her heart as if she saw her beloved again. She could never take her eyes from it. At first, she felt a touch of fear that it might be Ravana in the strange guise. Then there came to her mind many a reason that led her to decide that he was the dear messenger sent to her by her beloved Lord. It begot sweet trust in him, and she looked again at the signet of Rama. She felt as if she had met him in person and lost herself in the sweet feeling that followed it. For it recalled to her those pleasant days of old when he wore it upon his hand at the time of their marriage and the happy years that they spent later on at Ayodhya. Sita gazed fondly at that ring that embodied so many happy associations. She could not thank enough the great power that brought them together after an eternity of separation. She gradually beheld before her the signet ring, the finger that wore it, the hand to which the finger belonged, the arms and the shoulders and the entire presence of her beloved, and fondly clasped it in embrace. Like unto the lady of the night, released from the cruel clutches of Rahu, did the face of Sita shine with her eyes long and most gracefully tinged with red, blossomed with joy. Then a feeling of remorse came over her at the thought, Alas, he has given me back my life and I cruelly suspected this Hanuman to be Ravana. In the height of her joy at having the news of Rama, she gazed with ever-growing fondness upon Anjaneya as a bearer of the good tidings and said, O best and bravest of the monkey race, it is a wonder to me how you penetrated into this Rakshasa capital alone, unaided and so easily. I could never praise enough your strength, power and intelligence. How did you manage to leap over so lightly in the pride of your unparalleled prowess, this broad waste of waters, as if it were a hoof track of a cow? You faced undaunted and unconfused the terror of the worlds, the ten-headed Ravana. So one would never commit the mistake of classing you with the ordinary run of monkeys. My Lord Rama, the most intelligent of men, has himself placed boundless trust in you and sent you on to me. So you are best fit to have free, unrestrained speech with me. My Lord Raghava, whom no one can approach in his matchless power, radiance and luster, will never send me anyone whose capacities he knew not most thoroughly and whom he had not tested in every way. Does my Lord fare well through my good fortune and the grace of God, and he the soul of righteousness and fruitful promise? Does Lakshmana, most effulgent, fare well? If it is all well with my Lord Raghava, he would have by now consumed the secret earth like unto the fire of dissolution. But I see it not. Rama and his brother Lakshmana, are they not gifted with the might to destroy in a second the entire world of the gods and the asuras? So I decide that the hour has not struck for the end of my sorrows. That best of men, is he thin and emaciated through grief? Is he free from regret and remorse? Is he in the full prime of courage and enthusiasm? I hope he is not overwhelmed with sorrow and confused of intellect in dealing with the affairs of movement. I hope he pursues the aims of life as befits them. Does he pursue the means of alliance and influence in the case of his friends, out of a spirit of kindness, and the other two methods of dissension and force to foil the ends of his enemies? Does he gather about him friends pure of heart and purpose? Do such seek him out? Is he held by them in great respect? Does he seek to win the grace and favor of the Lord Narayana, the deity of his line? I hope he has not forgotten me as one who had been long separated from him and in a far away part, unknown to men. I hope his love and affection towards me is ever the same. Is he minded to deliver me from this misery, and that speedily? Most fit in every way to enjoy every luxury and comfort of the highest kind. Most unfit to come within the cruel grasp of care. Is it all well with him? I hope the sharp grief has not played havoc with his body and soul. I hope he receives news that Bharata and the ladies Kaushalya and Sumitra fare well. I hope he is not consumed with the grief of being torn away from me. I hope he will concentrate all his energies upon the single purpose of delivering me from this house of sorrow and evil. Will Bharata, ever devoted to Rama, dispatch here for my deliverance his ministers and countless picked warriors and veterans? May I hope to see here at no distant date King Sugriva followed by monkey warriors whose teeth and nails are the most formidable weapons? Will Lakshmana overwhelm the Rakshasa hordes with a stream of arrows as befits his valor and knowledge of the mysteries of the weapons? Will I bless my eyes at no short time with the sight of Ravana and his kin lie low on the field of battle, thanks to the fiery arrows of the brothers? I hope that my Lord's face of golden splendor and of the sweet perfume of lotuses is not dry and like unto the lotus gradually dying in the pool whose waters dry up at the touch of heat. He put forth duty as a motive and renounced the kingdom that was his and brought with him afoot myself to the woods, who was accustomed to a life of luxury and comfort. Yet he felt not the slightest touch of care, fear, or grief. I hope such a one is not low-hearted through the grief of separation. The lady Kaushalya, whose soul was ever centered in him, my Lord Dasharatha, who quit his hold upon life, unable to bear away from his darling son, and his other kith and kin, cannot and do not hold a place in his heart with me. Take it from me as gospel truth that I keep a hold upon my life only until I know that Raghunatha will deliver me from this hell. Thus, in many a wise, the lady Sita spoke in words sweet and deeply significant. Then she paused for a reply from the most intelligent of monkeys. Then Marathi, the most valiant of warriors, raised his joint palms above his head and gave meet reply in all humility. In the far past, Anahlad the Asura carried away the wife of Indra, Lady Sachi. The Lord of Devas searched for her long and wide and came upon her prison house and won her back. So Rama had no news of your place of captivity till now. The red lotus in its bloom is put to shame by the loveliness of your eyes. I say that there could be no other reason for the delay in my Lord's not delivering you from the clutches of Ravana. The moment I inform my Lord of your whereabouts, he starts for this place at the head of the monkey hosts. Have no doubt how they would come across the sea 100 yojanas in extent. Raghava will bridge this dreadful waste of waters with his arrows and cross over here with his forces and exterminate the infamous Rakshasa brood. And should the Lord of Death or the high gods or the terrible Asuras seek to stand in his way, the very moment they meet with destruction, sure and certain. Like unto a lordly elephant in the clutches of the monarch of the woods, does the Lord Raghava suffer grievously at being separated from you. I swear to you upon the mountains Malaya, Vindhya, Meru, Mahendra, Dardura, may they shelter me no more if I swear false. I swear to you upon the roots and fruits and the water that form my sustenance, may they give me life and strength no more if I swear false. I say that you will bless your eyes at no distant day with the sight of the glorious face of Rama, resplendent as the full moon in the matchless beauty of his hair, his fair lips and flashing earrings. Rama doesn't eat any honey anymore. He takes but a meal and that at sunset of fruits and roots as befits the hermits. His soul is ever with you. His bodily sensations are strangers to him. He does not feel the worry of the flies, the gnats, the worms and the other insects that creep over him. He does not drive them away. His love towards you absorbs him quiet. Black grief overwhelms him, and no other thought finds a place in his heart. Sleep is a stranger to his eyes, and should he ever fall asleep out of sheer weariness, he awakes with the words, "Ha, Sita!" upon his lips, words dear and sweet to him. He heaves many a hot sigh at the sight of fruits, flowers and roots and other pleasant objects. He calls upon your name and talks to you as if you were there and spoke back to him. For he actually believes that you are ever before him. He abates not one iota of what he should do to get you back to his side. Know ye not that his courage is impregnable? Know ye not that his plighted word is a fact accomplished, and that he is the ideal king and warrior? Sita's heart was somewhat relieved of the terrible load of anxiety that caused it, thanks to the welcome news she had of Sri Rama. But the sufferings he underwent at being separated from her found a powerful echo in her heart. She resembled the orb of the moon slightly clouded at the beginning of the cold season and putting forth spasmodic gleams of radiance. Mangalam Koshlendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.